Blog Talk Radio.
To the cross in the desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and so very glad that you took time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Monday, March 2nd, and here in Florissant, where I live, you can see, feel, and hear that spring is in the air. Yesterday, 71 plus degrees. We had a nice barbecue together on the deck. I'm telling you, when you hear the birds chirping, you see the grass starting to change colors. Wow, I am ready, so ready to say goodbye to good old winter and all of that ice and snow and coldness. The last few days have been extremely exciting, very encouraging for me. Our dear friend, Mary Fatima Mohammadi, last Wednesday was released from Qarchak prison on temporary bail. And just yesterday, I had an opportunity to connect with her once again on Telegram. And it's a long story. I can only share a few of the details. But one of the first things, the first words that Mary shared with me were so beautiful, because I asked Mary, how are you doing? How do you feel? And she said to me, I am fine, dear, because Jesus and Christians are behind me. And I just rejoiced with her. I cried with her. I prayed with her. I took time out to ask her questions about her suffering, about the wounds to her body, the beating. We had many things we talked about. And she said to me something very interesting, because we were talking about her court date today. Mary said to me, she said, it is my duty to go to prison. I believe I'm going to be sentenced. There are no human rights in Iran. There's no religious freedom here. And I know this is probably going to happen to me, that I will probably be sentenced. But it is my duty. And what she was referring to is a comment she made in an interview with Article 18 a few months ago, where they asked her, what about your future? Do you feel threatened? And she says, I am ready, if necessary, to return to prison in order to stand up for the rights of Christians in Iran. An amazing woman. This is a very, very humble, very courageous lady who will not stop fighting for human rights in Iran. She won't stop fighting for religious freedom. She will not stop fighting for the Christians in Iran. And so we spent some time talking together. And in the end, at our conversation on Telegram, I prayed with her. And then I sent her some Bible verses to encourage her. And I said, Mary, as soon as the court date is complete, please let me know what happened. And she promised me. This morning at around 3 a.m. my time, which would have been close to noon her time, I got a message back from Mary. We had been praying so fervently for her. And Mary says, my court case has been postponed because the judge has the coronavirus. And I was just, I sat up in bed. I thought, wow. God has really spoken in her behalf. God certainly is defending my dear friend. And not that I wish this virus on anyone. The people of Iran are really suffering. And I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. But Mary did not have to stop her life and explain everything to a judge in court this morning. She told me I was so relieved because I haven't been feeling well. She's been feeling sick, and of course, she's right there in the epicenter of the coronavirus. She says, I'm glad this happened. I said, God is on your side, Mary. He is standing up for you. He is speaking for you. She says, I know, exactly. That was her words, exactly. And so I told her, I said, we will continue to pray for you. Please keep in touch. Let us know whatever will happen. I said, do they have another date for you? And she said her lawyer told her that not at this time, but she will probably have to go back in the near future. We don't know when. So what this means for all of us is continued fervent prayer for Mary, because all of us are praying that when she returns to court, that these charges against her will be dropped. The charges of participating in an illegal protest, that's the main charge. But they will probably bring in all of her charges about converting to Christianity, having religious freedom website on Instagram, posting on Facebook, speaking out against the government and supporting Christians on Twitter, which she has done. So please pray that God will defend her, that God will fight for her, and that God will have these charges dropped against her. That is what we're praying. We understand that we don't know the future for Mary. It could very well be that God will use her in a mighty way if she goes back to prison. We just don't know, but we are praying for her to be exonerated, to not have to go back to prison. Mary said to me, Qorchak prison was horrible. She said, I lost so much weight, because they don't feed you there. They treat you like a dog. And so I wanted to update all of us on Mary and let us know what's going on. I want to say thank you. Thank you for the incredible support of all of my Facebook friends on Facebook that have been going to the prayer page, becoming members and praying for Mary. There's over 230 members on our prayer page for Mary right now. And you can become a member. It's really simple. Just go to the Pray for Fatima Mary Mohammadi page on Facebook and keep Mary in your constant prayers. The situation in Iran is very, very bleak. In fact, the Trump administration has offered, they've reached out to the Iranian people, you know, in spite of the sanctions and all that's going on, they said that they would help them. And so that's one positive thing so far. And I wanted to talk to you this morning about the latest reports that I have about what's going on inside of Iran with the coronavirus. This is kind of confusing because you cannot get for certain numbers. They're fluctuating back and forth, and I think the government is trying to cover up so much of this. But the death toll so far has exceeded 500. Saturday, February 29th, 2020 was the last tote on this. And they're making every effort to prevent the disclosure of the actual number of the victims. I have video on my Facebook page of Iranians passing out on the street. Now, know something about Tehran. The air pollution is a problem there already. So many young people with respiratory illnesses. Mary has complained about this to me as well. So you have the air pollution problem, and then you have the coronavirus spreading. According to the statistics I have, 150 people have died in the city of Qom, 100 in Tehran, 100 in Mazdaran, 37 in Iraq and Sabah, 37 in Isfahan, 24 in Kashan and Gilyan, and several more people have died in Mashhad, Kermanshah, Karaj, Semna, Banabar Abbas, Zad, Ilam, and it goes on and on. The clerical regime, however, they want to put the death toll at only 43, and that the number of those contracting the virus at 593. My latest information is over 1,500 have contracted this deadly virus. Now, you know why they did this cover-up? Well, because of the celebration going on of the 1979 revolution celebration held on February 11th, and then the election masquerade that just came to pass in Iran on February 21st. They wanted people to show up for these events. And so what did they do? They masqueraded, they lied, they cover up, just like they did to the people about the Ukrainian flight 752. Oh, that had some mechanical problem, when in reality it was shot down. Now, they claim it was an error and it was a mistake, but who will ever know the truth for sure? So they've lied to them about that, and now this. And so interviews with the media to the Iranians were some people – were advising us to postpone the elections in Qom. They insisted on postponing the elections, but an official in charge in the interview, he said, "I did not accept any of these recommendations." And you know, the Interior Ministry told the press conference on February 23 about this. They intended not to postpone any of this. And this is a clear admission to the major crime against humanity that Iran is conducting. The Interior Ministry of Health has the problem. One of the key members of the parliament that's an advisor to Khamenei has died recently. And so they are responsible. That is, the government, of course, is responsible for the unprecedented outbreak of this coronavirus, COVID-19. They are responsible for the deaths of hundreds of Iranians. And of course, they have a history of death. 1988, a massacre of political prisoners, most of them Mek, but a massacre of over 30,000 political prisoners in 1988. And of course, they covered that up as well. Now, on to some other items of interest for us this morning. The family of Nazanin Ratcliffe has said they fear she has caught the coronavirus while imprisoned within an Iranian jail. Now, this is really an interesting story. This is an ongoing drama with Richard Ratcliffe in the UK standing up for his wife, Nazanin, who has been in prison in Iran since 2016. It's going to be 4 years this Easter when she tried to leave Iran, and they banned her from leaving Iran. They accused her of being a spy. Nazanin revealed on Friday, and she's in Evin prison, that she was at risk of contracting the virus. And they spoke to her on the phone, and she reported she had cold-like symptoms. She told her family, "I am not good. I feel very bad, in fact. It is a strange cold, not like the usual cold. I know the kind of colds I normally have, how my body reacts," Nazanin said. "This is different. I'm just as bad as I was. I often get better after 3 days, but with this, there is no improvement. I haven't gotten one bit better. I have difficulty breathing and pain in my muscles and fatigues. I do not pant, but I'm finding it hard to breathe. At least 210 people in Iran are believed to have died after contracting the virus. My sources say much more. And, of course, the highest number is outside of China. Well, Iran is right there. The majority of the deaths have been in the capital, Tehran. Now, Evin Prison is located in the north suburb of that city. Although the prison has not yet confirmed any cases of the virus, reports have emerged of at least one coronavirus-related death. Now, according to Nazanin, the prison has failed to provide any proper health checks. And despite Nazanin reporting her symptoms to guards, they don't test her. Nothing is done. Access to hygiene facilities and cleaning products is very limited there. Supplies of medication are also reported running low within the prison. Guards have been tested. Inmates have not. There is a feeling of being stuck somewhere with no way out, Nazanin says. We have no choice to endure but to endure what comes. We are stuck, and it is scary. I can't believe this is now happening. And even with this, they still won't let us go. They won't let them out of the prison. They just keep away. It makes my heart sore. Please take me home. Now, you know, Nazanin has health issues, a rapid pulse rate, an irregular heartbeat at times. And she has just suffered. And yet, Richard Ratcliffe, her husband in the UK, cannot seem to get the new Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, to really help him with his case with his wife. And so this morning, as we talk about this virus, as we talk about the political prisoners in Iran, there is a tendency for all of us to panic, to all of us be filled with fear and anxiety. And I want to try to help us this morning with this issue. I want to help us by going to God's word. Last broadcast, I talked about that God is in control, that he is sovereign. And I felt, though, that we need to go over that again. We need to emphasize what the scriptures say about what God is doing in the midst of this virus. Well, he is in control. Why? Because God existed before anything else did. Before the mountains were born, Psalm 90 verse 2 says, before you gave birth, the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are God. God existed before anything else. He created all things. The Gospel of John says all things were created through Christ, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. So he existed before anything else. He created all things. He sustains all things. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, the Bible says in Colossians 1:17. He is above all things. God says that he knows the end from the beginning, and from long ago what is not yet done, saying, my plan will take place, and I will do my will. God is not limited or restrained by anything. He knows all things. God is all-knowing. We see that from Scripture. He can do whatever he pleases. The Bible says the Lord does whatever he pleases in heaven and on earth and all the seas and all the depths. Look, he says, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? So he can do whatever he pleases. He knows all things. He orchestrates all things. The Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have planned, so it will be, as I have purposed it, so it will happen. He rules over all things. He is in control of all things. Proverbs 21:1, a king's heart is a water channel in the Lord's hand. He directs it wherever he chooses. He controls the course of human events. Psalm 33, verse 9 through 11. For he spoke, and it came into being. He commanded, and it came into existence. The Lord frustrates the counsel of the nations. He thwarts the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. He is in control of all calamity. He unleashes his winds and the waters to flow. Lightning and hail, snow and cloud, powerful wind comes from his commands. Isaac Watts was right. There's not a plant or flower below, but makes your glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from your throne. He controls our circumstances. You get the picture. To say God is sovereign is to say that he is unrivaled in majesty, unlimited in power and knowledge, and unaffected by anything outside of himself. He is outside of time and completely free to do whatever he wills to do anywhere at any time, in every single detail without interference. He reigns, period. That is what it means to say that God is sovereign. All of those attributes of God are true. And one thing we know about the Bible, that God is holy, but God is love. God cares deeply about every detail of our life. He loves us everlastingly. He loves us intimately. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, for our salvation. God loves his people. God loves humanity. There are times that God does bring judgment through disease and pestilence. God does do that. The Bible says he is angry but for a moment, but that his loving kindness and his compassion flow out of him endlessly. And so as we think about all that is happening with the coronavirus, we can rest in the sovereign care of God, that he is in control. Our response is to cry out to him, to trust him, to call out to Jesus, to say that my life, I need to know my future. My life is in disarray. I am suffering physically and spiritually. Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Right now, I want to feature with my remaining minutes a song that will give us hope in the midst of fear. This is a beautiful song called No Longer Slaves.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemy. Till all my fears are gone, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born. Thank you.
gives Bethel Music a powerful song of comfort. No longer slaves. I no longer am a slave to fear. I am a child of God. When the fear and the anxiety and the dread of this disease begins to grip your heart, we can say with confidence, I am no longer a slave to fear. And in this sense, this song is so right on. At one time, we were filled with dread and anxiety of knowing God. But when we come to Christ and receive his pardon, his forgiveness, when we receive the free gift of righteousness, we no longer have a slavish fear of who God is, but our hearts are opened up to who God really is, a God of love and compassion, and our slavish fear is taken away. My Iranian friends have been taught from birth about Allah and how he will hang the women over the flames of fire because they did not wear their hijab. They have been taught fear and dread. When you come to Jesus, you come to a heavenly Father that has loved you from all eternity, and you can find your rest and your peace in knowing him. I want to thank everyone so much for listening to the broadcast today. I will keep us all updated on Mary and the coronavirus in Iran. Please pray for Mary. Please pray for the Iranian people. God bless you. I will see you again on Thursday on the cross in the desert.